This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. FBI statistics show that every 12 seconds a woman is beaten by her husband or boyfriend. Some perpetrators get jail time, but what other ways are there to prevent violence against women? To answer that question, we're joined by News and Notes contributor Judge Lynn Toler. Judge Toler is a former municipal court judge and now hosts the syndicated television show Divorce Court. It's great to have you on again.
Good to be here.
So for years, police took a somewhat light approach, sometimes just taking an abuser out and taking a walk and saying, don't do this again. But in recent years, they've stepped up their enforcement. So that's good. But what are some of the other ways to treat this issue?
That is good. And it's very important to understand how this has evolved. Yes, it used to be it's his house. It's not that big a deal. It has evolved into an idea where, yes, the criminal justice system has to take it seriously. So they have now preferred arrest policies where the police have to arrest. And if they don't arrest in a domestic violence situation, they have to explain it. And prosecutors then stepped up and said, we're going to have a no drop policy. In other words, we're going to assume, as often is the case, that the woman is going to ask, hey, don't prosecute him. Let him go. And he says, no, the state of Ohio or the state of Arizona or wherever you are says this is our charge, this is a crime, and we're going to follow through. Then it's up to the judiciary, and everyone used to look to the judiciary. Now you have to be serious and sentence these guys. That in and of itself was not working, because once he was out, you are sending the man and the mindset back to the same home and the same woman with the same mindset. And so the taking it seriously and simply incarcerating was not resolving the problem.
So what other ways are there?
Now we are taking a more holistic approach to the problem. It is an approach that tries to sew up the seams of the system. I had a domestic violence group come to me and say, look, Judge, we aren't getting what we need. We're not getting to the women soon enough. You are not getting the men to domestic violence program well enough or quickly enough. So what they did, asked me to do, was to put together a coordinated community response to domestic violence that put together one whole response: counseling, law enforcement, social service, employment services, housing assistance, all of those things that affect a woman. Because it's kind of like the judicial response to the question, why doesn't she just leave? And the answer to that is because you're asking her to deconstruct her entire life. So when you ask someone to do that, you have to have a way to hold them up while they do that. And now this response is becoming more popular and, in fact, has morphed into the Family Justice Center initiative in 2006, which federally recognizes the answer to why doesn't she just leave, and in so doing, gave it money and, you know, a broad-based idea and funding to put that idea into process.
Do you think something like that initiative is actually working?
I think it does. I think it's a difficult thing to talk about with respect to numbers in the beginning, because it is such a victory. If she gets out of the house and doesn't get killed, you don't have that number with you. So it takes a long time to define what a victory is. And a victory to one woman in just feeling better about herself or getting out of the situation or having him change a little bit while he's still in the house, that is still a victory. So what we had been doing isn't working. We know that much. And we know that when you deal with the problem on a multi-tiered level, so you can deal with all of the roadblocks that women enter into as victims in the system, it's bound to help. How soon we know what the numbers are or how important sheer numbers are, I'm not so certain.
Now, how did it make you feel that what you had been doing as a judge alone was not working? Did you begin to question at all, you know, what it means to be a judge, and that judges are supposedly going to be able to solve these problems? It sounds like you were very open. How did you feel? And then also, do you think that other judges are receptive to this approach?
I felt impotent and unsuccessful. And I think I felt that way throughout my tenure on the bench because I spent so much time believing that the real value I had was off the bench. When I saw what the problems were and how deep the women were, what I did was go to a school with and had groups of girls that were 14 and 15. And the first question I would ask them is, how many of you plan to be abused when you grow up? And of course, nobody raised their hand. I said, now the statistic tells me that 1/3 of you will. So how do we get from here to there? And we have that. I had that conversation because I believe it is off the bench that I could do my best work. Judges, as people, as institutions, are very opposed to change. I mean, that's just the way we are in human nature. But I think that there are a lot of judges out there who are very open to the idea, and you just have to give it time as the older generation goes away. I remember when I first became a judge, one of the judges said to me, it was 1994, yeah, I put him on probation and I make them go out, take their wives out to dinner as a response to domestic violence, which to me demonstrated complete misunderstanding as to the nature of the problem. Now that's no longer the case. And as these initiatives broaden and you understand their impact, I think judges are going to be more open to the prospect of change.
You know, something you said made me think about your role now as the presiding judge on Divorce Court, which, of course, is a television show.
Right.
Do you ever face talking about these issues on the show?
I try to steer away from domestic violence on the show because it is a TV show and I cannot take it seriously. And it is such a serious and important issue. I did talk about it on one show where I had two episodes that was dedicated to the issue of domestic violence. But it's not something that can be treated lightly.
But you did speak with the Reverend Juanita Bynum about the
I
issue.
I did do that. I did do that. And I thought it was a unique opportunity. Normally, I wouldn't allow it on domestic violence. They gave me opportunity. They said, we have a woman here who is very well known and who wants to speak about it happened to me, because there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of closet and darkness that allows this stuff to grow. And I saw it as a unique opportunity to take a very current issue, a very current situation with Dr. Bynum, and shine light on something we usually don't talk about.
And just for those who don't know the history, Reverend Bynum was married to, or I guess still is at this point, married to another prominent figure who had a very spectacular domestic violence incident in a public space. Just quickly before we let you go, what do you think that she has had to offer or say about this issue?
Number one, she had light to offer. I remember reading in Essence an article she wrote, I didn't want to talk about what was going on in the house because I felt stupid. And I think a lot of women feel that sense of shame associated with that, especially women who are in more elevated circumstances who feel that it's a, you know, not a problem, that it's in the upper classes. So I think it shone light on it. And I think with the light comes the ability to see, and with that ability to see comes the ability to change, because it has to be way before it gets to the judiciary. It has to be in the minds and hearts of people and how we respond to each other in a social setting.
Well, Judge Toler, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was News and Notes contributor Judge Lynn Toler. Judge Toler is a former municipal court judge and now hosts the syndicated television show Divorce Court. She joined us from the studios of KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona.